Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
What if we had a show about solutions?
You know, a repair manual for the real world.
Not the same old left versus right.
I am right,
I'm right.
And you are wrong.
You're wrong.
Boring.
Yeah, something new.
Yeah, something new. How to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
How do we fix it?
Today, are many parents way too fearful about what might happen to their kids? Are they over-controlling? Is this having a crippling impact on children's ability to be creative and think for themselves? Today, the woman who's been called America's worst mom. I'm Richard Davies.
And I'm Jim Meggs. New York City mom Lenore Scanese caused an uproar when she wrote a newspaper column a couple years back explaining why she let her 9-year-old son ride the subway alone. Her critics accused her of child abuse, putting her son at too much risk.
Lenore is author, blogger, campaigner, reality TV show host of a recent program on Discovery Life, and also founder of the movement Free Range Kids. Lenore Scanese, welcome to How Do We Fix It?
And you wrote a book called Free Range Kids, Giving Our Children the Freedom We Had Without Going Nuts with Worry.
Right.
So now it all went back to that first newspaper article that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect the reaction you got?
You know, I'm a newspaper columnist by trade, and I wish every column I wrote was examined, discussed, and started a worldwide movement. But actually, it was just that one.
And you put your 9-year-old son on the train, on the
yes,
subway.
I did.
In the world's biggest city, a place that people who live outside think is full of criminals.
Right. I sent him down to hell with a MetroCard. Right, yeah.
And were you worried when you did that?
You know, it's kind of hard to remember, but here's the point. I would not have put him on the subway if I thought I was putting him in danger, because I actually love my son. I love my older son, who I didn't put on the subway at age 9, because he didn't ask. So what really transpired is that our son was asking me and my husband if we would take him someplace he had never been before and let him find his own way home by public transportation, subway and bus. And we discussed it, my husband and I, and we thought we're on the subways all the time. They are crowded. I think crowded means safe, safety in numbers. They are, you know, vaguely efficient. Okay, they're a little dirty. You know, sometimes you see a rat, but they're not dangerous. And my son was very familiar with them because that's how we get around in New York. And so I thought of it as pretty much the equivalent of letting your kid in the suburbs ride his bike to the library, except it's New York City. So I said, okay. And when I brought him for that fateful day, to the train, I brought him to the subway stop at Bloomingdale's, which is, you know, Bloomingdale's.
It's Manhattan's Upper East Side.
It's on Manhattan's Upper East Side. It's a, you know, it's an expensive zip code. It's filled with shoppers. It was a sunny Sunday afternoon. And he'd been on the subway line many times before. And so he had just had to take it a couple of stops down and then get out and then take this really slow bus that goes across town. And I felt he was capable of it, and he was. And so, you know, I didn't put him on the subway at 3 in the morning. It wasn't the South Bronx. It wasn't China, where he doesn't speak the language. It was something that he was familiar with.
And what was the reaction when you wrote that column and said, this is what I did?
This is what I did. My son says he's responsible for my entire career, which is sort of true. But a month and a half after that, I wrote this column. And that night, the phone rang. And it was, first of all, it was the Howard Stern show, which I was like, I crossed my legs and put on a robe. I'm like, what are you calling me for? Oh, my God. You know, I'm really old and I'm married and I'm straight. You're not even in my fantasies, Howard. But it didn't matter. In the end, he didn't have me on. But the next phone call was the Today Show. And, it was like a Kardashian moment. Howard and the Today Show both wanted me. Once I was on the Today Show, that just opened the floodgates of the media. And by the end of the week, I'd been on MSNBC, Fox News, NPR. And that's when I started my blog, because I felt like people thought I didn't care whether my son lived or died. And I wanted to correct that misperception. And so the blog originally said that, I believe in, or free rangers, I called it Free Range Kids, and I said, we believe in helmets, car seats, seat belts, mouth guards. If your wives had invited me to the baby shower, the gift I always bring to a baby shower is a fire extinguisher. So I believe in safety. I just don't believe our kids need a security detail every time they leave the house.
Yeah, you've said you feel like our kids these days are wrapped in bubble wrap.
Helicopter parenting, whatever it is, it's a common phenomenon that seems to be around the world now. And this is just, originally I thought I was pushing back against helicopter parenting. Gradually I realized if entire countries are going crazy like this with fear and Rhode Island even proposed a law that would not allow a child to get off a school bus before seventh grade without an adult waiting at the school bus stop to chaperone them home. That's not helicopter parenting. That is a culture gone crazy with fear that believes it can control every single circumstance and every single second of a child's life. And so I'm not saying parents, whoa, you guys are nuts. I'm saying culture, whoa, you're nuts.
So, let me take the kind of devil's advocate role. So, yeah, we're incredibly overprotective. We're watching out for every little thing in our kids' lives. But what's the harm in it? I mean, they're going to grow up. Won't they be just fine?
I actually think they will be, ironically enough. I think most kids, if they're given love and food, are going to turn out okay. And one of the things I think that is driving us crazy as parents is the idea that we have to do everything absolutely right. Otherwise, all bets are off. If you eat, a Hostess Twinkie while you're pregnant, forget it. That's what, if you read What to Expect, which you guys probably didn't because you're guys.
I know it very well.
I did.
See, well, that's a crazy culture. Why are the guys reading pregnancy books? Oh, my God. Put it down. The newest issue of the newest version of What to Expect actually has on the cover Now with More Symptoms Than Ever. Yay! Right. Because you thought it was gas. So I do think that everybody is going to be pretty okay. And that's one of the things. It's one of the reasons I don't think we do have to worry so much about our kids. And we don't have to hover so much. And basically, we're living in the safest times in human history. And we're lucky. And I feel like if anybody came from the past, like 100 or 200 years ago, and was dropped into our modern day society, they'd say, oh, you got rid of diphtheria? I can't believe it. You mean no more horses are running crazy in the street and kicking kids in the head? That's just great. Safe water? Oh, my God. No famine? This is great. I guess I have nothing to worry about. We'd say, oh, yes, you do. What if your child has to walk home from the bus stop? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to give a little perspective that we are lucky and our kids are pretty safe.
Now, usually when I prepare for this show, I read lots of web science and maybe even read a book and articles.
So far.
But the best bit of preparation I did this morning was to speak to my son, my 24-year-old son, Harry.
Uh-huh.
I said, do you think we've been over-controlling? And he said, no. And then he launched into this thing. He said, you parents, you're always talking about parenting skills and parenting tactics. And he said, a kid is going to do what a kid's gonna do. He looked me right in the eye, and he used slightly more colorful language than that. But his point was, hey, you can talk about all this all you want, but to Jim's point, he turned out okay.
It sounds like he did, but actually, when you say a kid's gonna do what a kid's gonna do, that's true if you give them a little leeway, if you give them a little free time. I was just railing on my site, because I can't stop railing, about this Subaru ad that somebody sent me. And
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys with the kids.
I didn't see that one. Let's hear that one.
Well, this is the one where the kids are in the 7-Eleven, and they're running, making all kinds of havoc.
I haven't seen it yet.
While the mother is filling up the car, and then it cuts to... You know, wouldn't you rather have a car with really high mileage so you can keep your kids safely strapped in the seats while you drive around? I thought that was the same.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's interesting on so many levels because, of course, it's illegal now in 19 states to have your kids wait in the car even while you pay for gas, which is crazy that should be illegal. Oh, my God. You got to go read my stuff on kids and cars. Kids are actually less safe in parking lots than they are waiting in a car. But because we're so obsessed with the idea that anytime a child is in a car, they will die of hyperthermia or be kidnapped, it is now the law in 19 states that you're not allowed to let your kid, and it's different ages, 6, 7, or 8, you know, under those ages, or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, wait in the car. New Jersey... Just to give you one quick example.
Where you cannot let your kid
wait in the car. But here's the New Jersey case. So in New Jersey, a mom goes to the mall, 18-month kid in the back seat, falls asleep. She knows her errand is going to take 5 to 10 minutes, which it does. And when she comes out, there's been somebody, you know, we're all deputized with our cell phones, right? And we're all good Samaritans. We're all stopping crime in progress, which generally means stopping a mom from doing anything that is convenient. And 911 was called. The cops come. She's arrested for child abuse and neglect. Gets on the child abuse and neglect registry. Did you know there's a registry in every state? There is. A lot of people on it for doing things like this. So she is found guilty. She appeals, goes to a 3-judge appeals court. And they decide, you know, the child slept through the whole thing. It was not a boiling hot day. It was not more than 10 minutes. Everyone agrees it wasn't more than 10 minutes. It was in a low crime neighborhood. And yet she was found guilty yet again of abuse and neglect because the judges ruled we don't even have to list all the horrible things that could have happened. And I call this fantasy as policy, simply because you can imagine what if somebody stole the car? What if somebody threw a brick through the window? What if the mom decided to take a job at Macy's while she was there returning a shirt? Then what?
How widespread is this problem? Is society gripped by fear about what could happen to our children?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely gripped by fear, and it is. You know, it's actually more widespread than worrying about what could happen to our children. I call it worst first thinking. We have been trained. We think it's smart and prudent to always imagine the worst case scenario first, worst first thinking, and proceed as if it's likely to happen. The idea is that somehow we think that there's some way to get to a zero risk solution in every situation, especially involving children, and it is taking away the parents' ability to make any rational decisions.
There's the case of Eitan Patz, this 6-year-old boy who was killed years ago in New York, had a great deal of coverage, not only locally but nationally. Did that have an impact on parenting, on the way people view risk for their children?
It had a huge impact. It was 1979, I think. And the working assumption on the part of at least the public, if not the police, at the beginning was he must have been taken by a lovelorn woman who wanted to raise him as her own son. So at that point, we did not automatically go to a predator scenario. That had not become the ingrained fear of every American parent. And since then it has. So yes, it's had a huge impact. And matter of fact, oftentimes when I say, let your kids do X or Y, they're going to be pretty safe. People still bring up that case. You know, we don't bring up the fact that since then, I did the calculations, and 120 million other children have been age 6 in America who haven't been taken from the bus stop, but we focus on the one who was.
I'm writing a book about disasters right now, big man-made disasters, like, you know, like the space shuttle and BP oil spill. And one of the things that keeps coming up is that sometimes certain safety systems create their own type of risk. Mm-hmm. And one kind of interesting example, on the BP oil platform, they had all these safety rules. In fact, they were winning an award. The day it blew up, they won a big award for having a very, very safe operation.
You should see my jaw. It is on my chair. Wow.
But one of the rules was they didn't want any fights on the platform, and so no one was allowed to carry a pocket knife. And when, as the rig was burning blowing up, They there was the last group to get off the rig was in a little, you know, lifeboat,
right,
tied to one of the legs of the
platform.
Don't tell
me they couldn't get it off.
And they couldn't get it off because nobody had a pocket knife.
Oh, my God.
And one of the guys had to actually swim out to another boat and to get a knife in order to just untie themselves. So the simple rule that makes sense in one scenario, it takes away the flexibility for
people. Right, you have to have flexibility to think and to react to real life. And if your whole life is only thinking up the worst-case scenarios, I wish they thought up that one. What if the dinghy is stuck to,
one of the lessons of this is you can never think up everything.
Right, but we think you can.
Yeah, but we think we can. And
right.
and not giving people flexibility to use their own common sense. And I feel like with children, giving them the opportunity to be somewhat flexible and, mm-hmm. and instead of having to follow every strict rule, it's like, well, if this doesn't work, maybe
try that.
You know, we know we want you to get home. Maybe you mm-hmm. have to walk down a different street,
mm-hmm.
if this one's blocked off. And that's okay if you make that decision.
You got to make some decisions. I mean, taking away kids' ability to make some decisions because they're ferried everywhere or everything is done for them is crippling. I mean, mm-hmm. we all say we want to have people who think big and they're problem solvers and they're entrepreneurs. It's like you can't think big if you can't even figure out your own route home or if you're going to have a snack before homework or homework before the snack. If all these – if you are – you know, here's one of my – things that I talk about. In the old days being when I was young, you walked to school and you got there, it was called arrival, right? And then you left and it was dismissal, right? Arrival and dismissal. And now it's drop off and pick up because the kids are.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like packages.
The show is called How Do We Fix It? Yeah, and our guest is Lenore Skenazy of Free Range Kids. And if you're interested in what Lenore is saying, and I sure am, your Twitter handle is Free Range Kids?
Here's the deal. The book is Free Range Kids. The Twitter handle is Free Range Kids.
We're going to talk about solutions in a minute, but I Great. Want to ask you about the why this has happened. The role
that is the book.
Yeah,
right.
I know that you don't blame parents, but
I don't.
How much of a role has media played?
The
6 o'clock news.
Media is at the top of my list, but not just the 6 o'clock news, because after the 6 o'clock news comes obviously Law and Order. You know. We are constantly being told that the children are in danger because this is a story. I won't say it cynically. It's not just that. I mean, I think people do believe it, but it's the best story that the media has ever come up with for keeping us glued to the screen.
Fear sells.
Yeah.
Fear sells. And
fear
so
drives ratings.
Fear drives ratings. And then another way fear is sort of shoved down our throats is that there's a marketplace that recognizes that the easiest dollar to get is the dollar from the wallet of a worried parent. The apotheosis of this is there are all these little doodads you can buy now. The one that I remember the name of is called the Owlet, which is a little device that you strap on your baby's foot when they're asleep in their crib. The healthy baby has come home from,
So it's like an ankle bracelet.
It's sort of.
For babies.
It's more like a sock. Anyways, the point is that it's loaded up with probably more technology than sent us to the moon, and it gives you, your phone, an instant and continuous readout of your child's heart rate, temperature, movement, and my favorite, their blood oxygen level.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
That's my question. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if they can scare you into thinking, well, if you don't know it, what if something bad happens? Once again, it's this worst first thinking. What if your child's blood oxygen level drops to perilously low levels and your iPhone isn't alerting you? It's like, oh, I don't want that to happen. It's like, well, get this and it will give you peace of mind. It doesn't give you peace of mind. It suddenly makes you worried about something that I didn't even know existed, which was blood oxygen, until this stupid thing came on the market.
Well, we rode our bikes to school when we were kids.
But not anymore. Yeah.
And you know, I often say we have this tendency to romanticize the past,
yeah,
that everything was so rosy back then, and catastrophize the present, when in fact we're actually much safer today than when I was a kid.
We're back to the crime level of 1963, and so if your parents let you do anything on your own, ride your bike, play outside, go to the park, when you were a kid, they were letting you out when it was more dangerous. Not that it was horribly dangerous, but they could still keep perspective because they didn't have this 24-hour news cycle. They didn't have instant readouts to their phones. They didn't have cell phones. In a way, cell phones make you more nervous.
By being so controlling, mm-hmm, and so risk-averse and worried about fear, what are we missing out on as families? Is it laughter? Is it responsibility for our kids? Talk about the positive side, mm-hmm, of letting, mm-hmm, go.
Well, what I've learned, and I didn't know this before I started, is that free time for kids seems like it's either wasted or possibly dangerous now. But it turns out that it's this great thing for kids. And when I was doing the research for my book, I became convinced that that was true. And I actually let my kids stop taking, thank God, their music lessons, which were painful to all concerned. And we were living in a small apartment. It was just awful. They weren't interested. We couldn't stand the music, quote unquote, music. And then they could start having some free time. And it turned out that when they had free time, one of my sons, the older one, the non-subway rider, started going every afternoon to the bookstore and reading comic books, which I think led to his fascination with political science. And the other son started playing more outside, and now he's a jock. You know, kids learn so much just by playing. Imagine them going to the park with just one other friend. What happens? Well, they have to figure out something to do, which is already a skill that so many of us don't have. They have to decide what's in, what's out, what's fair. So,
and so we've taken that away, that opportunity to do all of that negotiation, all of that learning, in the interest of these sort of top-down, highly directed activities.
So, that's exactly it.
So as Richard said, the show is how do we
solutions.
Fix it?
Solutions, yes. Let's get
so
to solutions.
And you have some ideas on several different levels. Why don't you walk us through
your solutions. Okay, let's talk about, we were talking about solutions at the parent level and then the community level and then the government.
Yeah, let's
level.
Start with parents.
Parents, I give a lot of lectures, and one thing that I do at them, the easiest part of my lecture, frankly, is when I ask people to, I've given them all the reasons why we're so afraid, and I say, all right, now I just want you to stop for a second and think back on something that you absolutely loved doing as a kid. You guys can do this right now. Something that you loved doing as a child that you don't let your own kids do. And then I walk away from the microphone. And I say, talk amongst yourselves. And there's always a little pause. People are a little, you know, and then it's deafening. It's like, oh, my God, we had so much fun. Oh, I would take my dirt bike. Oh, we got up in the morning and we didn't come back even for a sandwich. And, oh, we went to the park and we rode our bikes. The streetlights came on and this and that. And we went. Everybody except me, apparently, used to go to, maybe I lived in an already developed neighborhood. They used to go to where houses were being built, you know, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys did.
Construction sites were the best.
Construction sites. That's so interesting. I can't remember seeing a construction site as a child. So they would play in the half-built homes and hide-and-go-seek or whole neighborhood, versions of tag and capture the flag and basically capture your friends and humiliate them. But anyways, the point is, I ask them afterwards, I say, oh, so tell me what you did. And, you know, they're aglow. You guys are aglow right now, right? Thinking back on it. And I say, well, listen, you know, it's interesting that you loved doing this so much and you're here tonight to hear a whole lecture about parenting because you obviously love your kids. And you're giving them, you know, Kumon and Stanley Kaplan and tutoring and organic kale shakes. Yuck. And you're giving them, you know, a nice neighborhood to live in and a fine education. Why aren't you giving them the thing that you value the most as a kid? And then they go, And they've heard my whole lecture about how it's safer now than it was when we were kids and stuff. So what I would recommend for parents is simply that. Be honest with yourself about something that you love doing and whether there is a real reason, a real safety issue for why you won't let your own kids do it, or whether it's just sort of fallen by the wayside because we've just gotten so used to ferrying our children everywhere.
I might draw the line at one thing I loved doing as a kid. I'm not going to let my kids run behind the truck spraying the DDT clouds.
Only because there are no more DDT trucks.
My wife did that too in California.
I remember the DDT guy. I was like, there was excitement. There was the ice cream guy, and there was the DDT guy.
Yeah.
Both exciting.
Okay, communities. Because there's a lot communities can do. Like, get rid of a lot of stupid laws.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to go from communities. I'm going to go to schools. I have the teachers talk to the kids about the olden days a little bit, or independence, or they can read a book. Whatever. The point is, the teachers then say to the kids, go home tonight and ask your parents if there's one thing that you feel you're ready to do that for one reason or another you haven't done yet. And if you, you know, if they let you do it and you write a little essay about it or a poem or a poster or whatever, it'll be extra credit. And so the things that they ask to do are not bungee jumping. It's like, you know, can I walk the dog this once? How about I make dinner? Can I ride my bike to school tomorrow?
Government. What can government do?
I'll get to it really quickly. I think we got to run. So because I'm worried about the parents who are arrested for letting their children wait in the car or walk home from the park or play in the backyard or any of that, I started realizing that there has to be an overarching idea that gives parents back the prerogative to raise their children the way they see fit, so long as they're not putting them in an absolute, obvious, and immediate danger. So on my site, there's the Free Range Kids and Parents Bill of Rights, which I would like to see towns and cities and countries adopt, whatever it is. They should do it. They should pass it. And it's one sentence. The Bill of Rights is one sentence long. It says, our children have the right to some unsupervised time with our permission, and we have the right to give it to them without getting arrested. Simple as that.
It's a good way to end.
I think so, too.
Lenore Skenazy. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Lenore Skenazy, Free Range Kids. What a great guest.
Well, you know, I mean, usually we talk over like all the things we might not agree on and stuff. I'm just wholeheartedly on board with this, her whole project.
Me too. The one thing I'm saddened by, though, is thinking about this. All of the good times that children could have if they weren't so controlled and hovered over by these helicopter parents.
Well, I would also say, and some bad times. You know, when we were kids, all kinds of bad things happened to us. You know, embarrassing things. I can remember, I mean, one horrible little thing when I was a kid, running around in bare feet, that happened to me a few times in my childhood, is you'd step in dog do. Well, did you run screaming to your mom? No, you went to the hose and you washed your foot off, and you didn't even tell your mother.
Right.
Disgusting, creepy thing had happened. You just, you know, it was bad. You remembered it as a bad thing, and you went on and you got over it.
But I'm proud of one thing as a parent that I wasn't so proud of before. As a result of this conversation, is both of our kids had casts from accidents they had on swing sets.
Yeah.
And both lived to tell the story and are, I think, less fearful as a result of those accidents.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, I became a rock climber and, you know, did all kinds of crazy stuff. I watched my kids skateboarding a lot when they were young. Kids need some danger. They need those scrape knees. If they don't get the danger on a skateboard, they're going to seek an edgy, high adrenaline experience somewhere else and maybe a lot less safe in the end.
I remember that wonderful scene in Charlotte's Web, the great children's book by E.B. White, where all of the kids are in a barn and they're on the second floor and they jump onto a rope and slide down to the floor. And not one kid is injured. Because if children are well aware of these risks, or they develop a sense of understanding risk for themselves, then they're much better armed for the future.
Yeah, and a few injuries aren't the worst thing. You know, I think we're seeing today, too often, we see kids in college now, you know, so hypersensitive. I mean, if you're following the whole debate about trigger warnings and all the extreme sensitivity towards any kind of political speech or ideas that might be disagreeable or upsetting, it's like they're little hothouse flowers that have never, you know, been forced to confront an idea that upset them. And, you know, how are these poor people going to function in the world if they can't even, you know, read Hamlet without a trigger warning?
Our thanks to producer Miranda Schaefer, audio engineer Denise Barbarita at Monolisa Studio here in New York. The music you're hearing is by Lou Stravinsky. Send questions and suggestions to our website, howdowefixit.me. That's howdowefixit.me. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.